Chapter number 4. The Gospel of John, chapter number 4. We're going to finish this area out tonight, or this morning, I should say, and then we're going to get out of the worship just in sermon series only. Amen. John chapter number 4, we're going to pick it up at verse number 23. John chapter number 4 and verse number 23. And I still hear pages flipping. This is known as the story of the woman at the well, or the woman of Samaria. She's meeting Jesus. She's talking. Jesus is trying to get her saved so that she can worship in spirit and in truth. And he does a very good job of doing so. John chapter 4, let's pick it up at verse 23. The Bible says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." Can't get any more plainer than that. Amen. "Upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." And drop down to verse number 39. "Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Amen. And I do trust today that you know that he is Christ, the Savior of the world. There's no way we can worship him in spirit and truth except we are in Christ, and he is the Savior of the world. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, as our hearts have been prepared with the reading of the Word of God, and Lord, as we look at some areas where we can improve our worship and spirit and truth, bless now, Lord, me, that I may speak your word today as I ought to. Forgive me, Lord, where I fail, where I sin, where I lack, and Lord, give me the power of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, I love you and want to do my very best for you. And there are people here that love you as well and want to worship you, Lord, the very best way they can. And Lord, we cannot do that without the instruction of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So Lord, as we have assembled here to hear your word, Lord, open our ears, open our hearts, help us to be receptive to that which we hear. Lord, we may leave here differently than we came in. Lord, each time that we come and hear the Word of God, our worship should grow more and more. Lord, we're understanding that in this sinful body, we're going to come and have ebbs and flows, and we'll have highs, we'll have lows, and sometimes we'll be ready to worship, and other times we'll be not ready. Lord, help us to confess those times, and Lord, and be ready always to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we know life kicks in, but Lord Jesus, when life kicks in, your spirit can overcome life and lift us to the heavenlies, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us today, Lord, to hear the word of God. And then, Lord, there's one today without Jesus Christ. Help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to truly understand that they've been separated by sin and they need to be saved and born again so that they can have heaven as their home. And they can sing when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Lord, they've got to come see a man first. That man is Jesus Christ. He's God Almighty. And Lord, I pray when they see him, they may be gloriously born again. We thank you, Lord. Help our hearts today to be in tune with your heart, that we may praise you and adore you in spirit and in truth. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. With the woman at the well, went and told everyone that was at home in Samaria, come see a man. And I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I did the same thing. I went back to work. I got saved on Sunday. And Monday, I went back to work. And I can see it was just like it was yesterday.
I walked into my office and we had a staff meeting, and everybody was gathered around along one of those tables in the military. We sat around, everybody gave a report on their section. And I can remember my boss going around saying, "Do you have anything? Do you have anything? Do you have anything?" And they got to me, and I had this big Cheshire grin on my face. And I stood up and I said, "I got saved yesterday." And everybody looked at me like, "What? That there is nothing Air Force technically speaking about that. What do you mean you got saved?" And my boss chimed up. My boss said, Yeah, I'm saved too." And I said, "No, I got saved for real," which I probably shouldn't have said that. "But I was just newborn Christian. I just got saved yesterday." And I said, "I got saved for real. And I don't know what you got, amen. I got saved for real. And it makes me want to tell y'all about it. Come see a man." And they thought I was insane. But guess what? I never changed from that. Every day I came in, I was excited about Jesus Christ. On a bad day, I was excited. On a good day, I was excited. And I tell you, I have never gotten over the fact that I'm saved. Some of y'all, I see y'all have gotten over it, amen. And y'all are on the other side of the hill, sliding down, amen. I'm still at the peak. I'm glad I'm saved. Do I have bad days? Yes, I have bad days. Am I always joyful and excited about activities that happen in my life? No, but I'm always joyful that I'm saved. I'm always glad I'm saved. I'm always talking about how I'm saved. And if you ask me how I'm saved, I'll say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, amen. Praise God, and he lives in my heart. And I'm so glad that I saw that man named Jesus Christ February 3rd, 1991. And I'm absolutely blessed that my wife saw him the same day. Amen. I couldn't see if she had gotten saved and I didn't. I couldn't live with her. Amen. She probably would have kicked me out by now. Amen. Or I would have left her, either one. Amen. But I told her when we first got married, I said, "Look, I don't believe in divorcing. So if you leave, I'm going with you." Amen. So nobody's separated from nobody here. You can't get away. I'll find you. Amen. And there wasn't even no GPS back then. But I said, "I'll find you. You ain't going nowhere without me. We're stuck for life." Amen. And by the way, that's just the way I believe about it. Amen. Marriage is for life. Amen. And so being lost, I believe that. Amen. And by the way, guess what? Salvation is for life too. Eternal life. Amen. Once you yoke up with Jesus and get saved, you can never be separated from him again. Amen. Now, sin may separate you in fellowship, amen, but you'll never stop being a child of God, and I'm so happy about that, because I've not lived a perfect life, and I'm sure neither have you. I mean, y'all lived the perfect life. Don't even try to raise your hand, amen. It's impossible. That's why we have forgiveness, amen, and I'm so glad we do. Well, we're in the worship right now, and we have talked about the relationship. You can't be in the worship until you get in the relationship, which we talked about already. And from the relationship, we go right into the stewardship. What is stewardship? Giving of your time and your treasure and your talents to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Giving as unto the Lord. And then we kind of step down these verses, starting in verse number 1 with a woman at the well. And we talked about some of the hindrances that she had in her worship. And we're not going to go over those because we've done that already. But I will give you this definition for worship. It means to prostrate oneself in homage. It means to reverence. It means to honor, praise, and adore someone who is worthy of such honor. By the way, that's only God Almighty and our Lord Jesus Christ. People worship cars and people and other things, but only God truly is worthy of our worship. He gave us life and he gave us eternal life. Originally, the word worship was called, amen, turned into worship over time to show that one being honored was worthy of praise or assigning to God his true worth. And when we come here on Sundays, guess what? Our highest motive should be to worship God. This is the time that we have hollowed out of our schedules, whether it be Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It is time that we have hollowed out of our schedules and say, "I want to give God my undivided attention." Somebody say amen. Hey, when you go to work, you're supposed to give your boss your undivided attention to work at your job. Amen. Can you imagine going to your job, and especially if you're working on an aircraft, and you're trying to text on your phone and work on the aircraft at the same time, and the pilot's got to get in that aircraft? Now, if I'm the pilot, I'm going to look at you like you got two heads. I'm going to say, "I'm not flying that aircraft. You spent more time on Facebook and on text messaging than you spent on that aircraft. I can't trust that thing. Now, if they should devote that much attention to what they do in their profession, how much more should we? I remember there was a guy in the military. I worked in the equipment maintenance squadron, and it was the parachute shop. And a guy got busted for drugs. And when they worked on parachutes, they were supposed to sign off to say that they worked on it. When he got busted for drugs, what do you think they went and did? They went back and looked at every parachute he touched, because it could be that under the influence of the drugs, he didn't package a parachute right. And would you imagine being the pilot in that aircraft of the parachute that he packed? And it's 50-50 whether he was kind of spaced out or not. Is this a ripcord? I don't know. Pack that thing in there. Happy trails. No, sad trails. They went back. Why? He didn't give all his attention to what he was doing. When we come into the house of God, we've got to give attention to what we're doing. We don't come to the house of God to haphazardly worship. We come to worship on purpose. Am I right? Amen. So then we come in, we should come in with the mindset, I'm coming on purpose to worship him who is. And when I come in to worship him who is, I want to give him my full attention. And we should do that. I told y'all the story one time about this preacher I knew. And he kept his cell phone right there. And in the middle of preaching, it rang. He's up there. And we're like, why don't you just answer it? We know it's you. And he went and grabbed that thing and gave it to somebody in the audience. Amen. I don't carry my phone on me because I know I may not have turned it off and somebody may call me. And if it starts ringing, I'm probably going to throw it at the wall or something like that. Amen. And y'all going to look at me and say, practice what you preach, preacher. Amen. So I try to make a habit of not bringing my phone on me when I preach. Now, that's just me. You may be smarter than me, and you can turn yours off. Amen. I don't remember to turn mine off. Amen. So that's going to hinder my worship, and it will probably hinder yours as well. So worship should be that time that we devote to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at some things here after we've covered the hindrances about worship. We're going to look at some other things today about what we can do to worship in spirit and in truth. Y'all ready to see these things this morning? Amen. How many want your worship to improve? I know I do. There's always something bothering me with my worship. Amen. I'm just like you. I'll come in and, Brother Neil was shucking the corn in Sunday school this morning. And he hit a point and I'm thinking, oh, I can preach that. And, oh, I can preach this. And then he went over here and said, let's go to this verse. And I started reading three other verses below and three below. And I'm like, I can make a message out of that. And I'm just distracted. None of y'all have that happen to y'all. Y'all are just true worshipers. Spirit and in truth. Yeah, preacher, amen. You're the only bonehead that does stuff like that. Amen. Y'all just play tic-tac-toe and stuff like that. Amen. At least I'm trying to be spiritual. Amen. Get a message. Amen. All right. So let's talk about this. Amen. Because worship can be hindered by so many things. We saw this lady down here and some of the things that she did as bringing up objections and worshiping and trying to worship people in the past. And she had some perceptions and she had places of tradition and places treasured and possessions and all this stuff hindered her. And by the way, it can hinder us too. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll come in the house of God thinking about our cars, our homes, our bills, our jobs, our children, our clothes, who got what and who doesn't have what. Amen. And so we want to worship in spirit and in truth. So looking at this, true worship, Jesus said, requires at a base minimum two things. Notice what he says down here in verse number 24. God is a spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. So at a base level, we know that if we're going to worship God Almighty, it's going to require us to worship in spirit and in truth. Why? Because God is a spirit, number one, and truth we'll see in just a few minutes. By the way, Jesus said we must worship God in spirit. The spirit that he's speaking of right down here in verse number 24 towards the end, when he says must worship him in spirit and in truth, is different from the one above. The one above is that God is a spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. And you and I are spiritual. And so we should worship in a spiritual way. In other words, what he said, the spirit is not the Holy Spirit, but intellectual or the mental part of man. In other words, we should come to worship on purpose with the spiritual intellect and with the spiritual knowledge that we have. William Temple said this about worship. He says, "For to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God." What does that mean? That means that in my conscience, I've got to recognize that God is holy. He's not like me. He's not like you. He's not like anybody else you know. My conscience has to understand that when I come in here, it's to look at him who is. My conscience has to say, hey, he's not like everybody else. How many of y'all slow down when you see a cop? You know what you recognize? He's not like every other citizen. He can give me a ticket. And so the first thing you do is look at that speedometer. I don't care where you're at. I don't care how you're driving. By instinct, when you see him, you recognize he's not like everybody else. And you look at that speedometer. It means to quicken the conscience by the Holy Spirit of God. I should know that I'm coming here to focus on God. And my conscience has to be relevant to that and understand that and understand that he is holy. He says, for the worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God. So I understand his holiness. My conscience is aware of that. So this is not just anybody. But then I've got to feed my mind with the truth of God. Hey, I don't have any truth beside the word of God. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. And so the truth that I know of God is going to come from here. So my conscience already is quickened to the understanding of God's holiness. I'm feeding my mind with the truth of God. Then he says this, for the worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God. To purge the imagination by the beauty. That means that I want to see him in his beauty and purge everything else out.
By the way, if you're looking at God, you shouldn't be able to look at anything else anyway. Amen. Why? He feels like it. And so he says to purge of the imagination by the beauty of God. I only want to see him. I don't know about you, but the day that I got saved, when I was under conviction, I saw number one, hell. And I saw myself going there. But then number two, I saw that God loved me and would forgive me. And I'm looking at this in my mind and in my conscience and in my spirit and my soul, and I'm seeing myself go to hell, and I'm seeing myself saying, but I don't want to go there. But I'm seeing Jesus saying, but I died for you. Just come to me. And I'm seeing myself saying, but I don't think I can live that type of a life. And I'm seeing him saying, just come to me. And I had all these battles in my mind about how I could do this and how I can do this. Consequently, it took me 2.5 hours to get saved. Because I'm thinking, I can't live this life. I can't do this. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop cursing. I can't stop doing drugs. I can't stop using bad language. I can't stop listening to the music I listen to. I can't stop watching those programs. I can't stop this. And by the way, salvation is not about stopping anything. It's about starting a relationship with Almighty God. He then gives you the power to stop what you need to stop. People want to say, well, let me turn my life over first, and then I'll come to Christ. No, you come to Christ, turn your life over to him, and he turns your life over. And people have it backwards. I had it backwards. To purge the imagination by the beauty of God. Then he says, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, then to open the heart to the love of God. Yes, God loves us. I don't know about you, I didn't see love at first. All I saw was hell, fire, and brimstone. All I saw was damnation and torment. All I saw was condemnation. You say, preacher, were you that big of a sinner? Yes, and then some. And I knew I was justifiably and worthy of all the condemnation that was coming to me. I knew I was. It's almost like doing something to your parents. I remember that time when I stole the car when I was 15 years old. And just coming home brought a holy horror over me when I looked up in the window and saw my sister looking out. And I said, I'm not going home. And I drove around the block. And then there were two heads. There was my other sister. I'm not going home. And I drove around the block again. And then I saw a third head. That was my mom. I'm definitely not going home now. I did not want to come home. Why? I knew condemnation was coming. Who in their right mind wants to come home to get beat up? She wasn't going to beat me. She was going to beat me up. And then my dad was going to beat me down. And then what was left of me, my sister was probably going to say, stupid. What was you thinking, 15 years old? I wasn't, I confess. When I got saved, all I saw was condemnation because I knew I was wrong. And I knew I was in error. But then I saw the love of God saying, you know, son, you're pretty bad off. And if you continue like that, you're going to stay bad off. But I got a remedy. My remedy is my son who died for your sin. He was buried for you and he rose again. And then my argument was, but God, I can't live this life. I can't be a Christian. I can't do what they do. And God gave me reality. They can't do what they do. They do what they do because of me. And you can't do anything without me. If I can save you, I can secure you and help you do what you need to do because I'm doing the doing. You're just giving up being. Amen. Man, that was a revelation. I still didn't understand it, but you know what I did? I said, Lord, the best way I know how, I'm going to trust you as my Savior. I don't want to go to nobody's hell. I got saved, and I tell you what, I ain't been the same since. God changed me right off the bat. He says down there, for the worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and then to devote the will to the purpose of God. That's true worship. William Temple wrote that. Then, and only then, to devote the will to the purpose of God. Once I have my conscience quickened by the holiness of God, once I've fed my mind with the truth of God, once I've purged my imagination by the beauty of God, once I've opened my heart to the love of God, then I can devote my will to the purpose of God. And folks, when we come to the house of God, that's why we come, to leave here and do what God wants me to do. By the way, I surrendered to preach in a church service. I got saved in a church service. I got convicted in a church service. I got right with God in a church service. Hey, preacher, is that the only way you can do those things? No, but that's where it happened for me. Amen. I'm not saying we come is to worship. He said worship in spirit and truth. This is not a religion. We're not talking about rituals. We're not talking about routine. We need the righteousness through the spirit. We need to be alive with zeal and not dead with orthodoxy. Saying to ourselves, this is the way we go to church. Let me show you an illustration of what I'm talking about here. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I love this illustration because it sort of typifies what happens to us on a Sunday. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is Israel when Goliath is coming to challenge them. And David shows up on the battlefield. And when David shows up on the battlefield, he says, is there not a cause? But I want to show you something here. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And what's going on here, his brothers are cowering down. Saul's cowering down. Israel's cowering down. Everybody's cowering down. David shows up on the battlefield. He left the sheep with the keeper. He comes down here, and notice verse 13. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. The names of the three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah, and David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. Drop down with me here in verse number 20. And it says here, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded. His dad told him to go down and take some food to your boys and see how the battle's going. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight. Notice what David did, and shouted for the battle. If you know anything about this particular passage of scripture, there was an area in between them, and the Philistines were on one side, and David was on the other side, and the armies of Israel on this other side afraid. And Goliath would come down and say, somebody come and fight with me. Saul, send out a man. There wasn't any fighting going on. But guess what David did? He shouted for the battle. And that's how it is sometimes. We go in and we see people over here, and we see people over here, and we're on one side or the other, and we're like this. David wasn't like that.
David came and shouted for the battle. Come on, let's get him. Somebody get out there. Look at that Philistine. He's trying to curse God. Is there not a cause? Somebody, come on. He's shouting for the battle. We come into the house of God sometimes dry and dead like God is dead. My friend, he is not dead. He's alive. But we come in, well, preacher, bless me if you can. It ain't my job to bless you. It's God's job to bless you. But you better be blessed of all. Amen. It's not my job to pump you up. It's not my job to prop you up and probe you up and cow you up and to make you feel good. That's not my job. My job is to preach the word of God. How you come into the house of God is based upon you. And it's based upon me. I know we've got cares. I know we got worries. I bet there was a lot of cares, a lot of worries going in David's life. But David came and shouted for the battle. And there was not even a battle going on. They hadn't fought yet. Guess who fought the battle? God. And he used David and a little old sling and one stone, although he picked up five. Commentators say the other four that he had was for his brothers, in case they try to come up. Amen. I don't know about that. Amen. That's not Bible, but it sounds good. Amen. And so David here has the spirit or the zeal that we should have when we come into the house of God. He's not dead. He's not dry. He's not dreary. He's not like God is not able. He understands that God is able. Go back over to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. What am I saying here? Worship is in spirit. And it should involve us spiritually. Ask ourselves a question. How do we come in to worship God? Do we come in like God is able to bless me? That God is able to do something like he never did before? I don't know about you, but when I go out on soul winning, I'm not always saying God save somebody today. I am in words, but in actions, I'm saying, Lord, can I just get through this today? Preacher, you? Preacher, yeah. Sometimes, Lord, I got things to do. I know we're supposed to go door knocking. Hopefully nobody will answer the bait. I'll get done with this role real quick, and I can go home. Sometimes I get that way. Y'all never felt that way? Sometimes, Lord, yeah, I got a million things to do this afternoon. I got to prepare. I got to do this. If nobody answers, praise God, I'll get done, and hallelujah, here we go. And other days I go out, Lord, save somebody today. And I'm looking under rocks for them, where they're at. I know somebody's got to be here, where they're at. I want to say I got some good news today. I want to save somebody. Give them the gospel, where they're at. Other days I'm like that. And that's how we come to church sometimes. Sometimes we're ready to worship. Sometimes we're not. Let's just get through the worship. Can we just get through with it? Can we just get to the amen so we can go home? I got a pot roast on. God is more important than pot roast. You know, the day I got saved, Brother Dunn had to lead me to the Lord. It took him 2.5 hours. And I pick with him to this day. I said, I bet your pot roast burned up, didn't it, waiting on me? And he laughs. But that's the kind of guy he was. He's like, look, if you don't get saved within 5 minutes, you're going to stay lost. I ain't got time for you. My wife knows how he is. And I pick at him to this day. I call him on Father's Day. I said, you know, you would never be my father if you hadn't took those 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Amen. You wouldn't be my spiritual father if you hadn't took that time. I said, I know your pot roast probably burnt up. And he just starts laughing again. Sometimes we don't want to take the time. And sometimes when it comes to worship, we just don't want to put the spiritual knowledge into it or the spiritual emphasis in it, the intellectual or the mental part of man. When he says they must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why? Because we're thinking about other things. We're occupied with other things. Our minds in other places. And we come to worship, it should be, let me clear everything out. My conscience knows the holiness of God. My mind wants to hear the truth of God. I want to see the beauty of God. I want to see the love of God so I can do the will of God. When we don't come in that way, we're not going to get that. And I've been guilty of coming in that way. I've been guilty of it. We're not careful, we'll bring in the bad spirit sometimes attempting to worship. By the way, the demons are always trying to hitchhike, catch a ride to spoil our worship. The question I have to ask, did he come with me today? Did they come with me when I came in? Give you 3 days that they really love to hitchhike on. Number one, Sundays. Number two, Wednesdays. And number three, soul-winning days. Those are days that they love to hitchhike. They can get you out of the spirit. Why? Because to do anything for God, it's got to be in the spirit. And they want to get you out of the spirit on Sunday, get you out of the spirit on Wednesday, and they want to get you out of the spirit on soul winning because it takes God's spirit. We can't save anybody. It's got to be the spirit of God. And they know that. Let me get them in the flesh. Boy, they'll make somebody mad today. Amen. And we will. Say, preacher, how do they hitchhike? Mostly by not getting prayed up before we come in, by not looking to worship when we come in, by not preparing to worship when we come in. That's how, oftentimes. We can bring in a bad attitude, we don't pray. We can come in with a non-singing attitude, a sour or a sinful attitude when we come in to pray. We can come in with sins of the heart, sins of the mind, sins of the tongue. We can come in a bad way. However, if we are in sin, we won't be able to worship in spirit and in truth. And the devils know that. By the way, there's three ships up behind me that will affect your worship. You say, preacher, what are those ships? One is over here. Your friendship. Brother Neil touched on that in Sunday school. You know, if you have the wrong friends in your ship, they will hinder your worship. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. There's another one in here that will hinder your worship as well. Amen. And it is fellowship and relationship. If you are out of fellowship with people and out of fellowship with God, that's going to hinder your worship. If you have bad relationships with people, that's going to hinder your worship. And the would-be worship that you would try to give to God is not going to go up. And so we've got to be careful of our friendships and our relationships. And by the way, another one up there that'll hinder you as well is over here, the one I was looking for, companionship. Who are your companions? Because those ships will hinder your relationship. I want to show you something here. Go back to John chapter 4. Because he said down there, if they're going to worship me, they must worship me in spirit and in truth. Notice verse chapter number 4, verse number 23. But the hour cometh now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Again, spirit there means in a spiritual way, or with the emotion that's behind it and the knowledge that's behind it, with the informational side of man or the mental or intellectual side of man. He said that the hour's coming where they must worship me in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now I want you to take note of that word must there. God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Say, preacher, why is that important? Because if we're going to worship, it's got to be in spirit and in truth. But we saw that word before back in chapter number 3. Notice chapter 3, verse number 7. And what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Marvel not that I said unto you, ye what? You must be born again. So he said, you can't even worship until you're born again. You must be born again. Then down in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, notice this, must the Son of Man be lifted up. If Jesus Christ is not lifted up and crucified and buried and risen again for our sins, guess what? We cannot be saved. He said, you must be born again. The Son of Man must be lifted up, and put those two together. Now you must worship me in spirit and in truth, with the intellect, emotional, or the spiritual capacity, and also with the truth of the Word of God. We've got to come together. And it's amazing that those are so closely listed in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Come back with me to chapter number 4. But the hour cometh, verse 23, and now is when the true worshipers must worship the Father in spirit, or intellectually, or with the mental part of man, and in truth. The Word of God is truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. We only have to come in and be entertained and have jokes and worldly music and things of that nature. That tells me that the Bible is not true, but I know the Bible is true, because the Bible says God is a spirit. They that must that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That doesn't say anything about jokes. I didn't hear Jesus tell a joke. I didn't hear Jesus strike up the band. I didn't hear Jesus say, well, you know, we're praise the worship group up here whilst I'm talking to you. No, no. You know what Jesus did? He is the Spirit of God and the truth of the Word of God. That's all he needed. We have the idea that we need something else. And by the way, all we need is this book and God's Spirit. And you can worship the Lord. So first of all, he said they must worship me in spirit. We must have the Spirit of God. That's a must. That's not a nice to have, but a must. Spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, knowledgeably. But not only that, we need to worship this in truth, in spirit and in truth. Truth, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, in John chapter 14 and verse 6. And so it's obvious why Jesus said truth. We can only worship in Christ, who is truth. And so if I'm born again, if I'm saved, then I'm in Christ. But now, am I full of the Holy Spirit of God? And spiritually, emotionally, and intellectually, am I giving everything to the Lord Jesus Christ to occupy myself with him? By the way, that is the best kind of service to be in. I was just talking to a preacher recently, and he was over in the Philippines, and another one who was in Guam, and another one who was in Africa. And they told me the poverty that these people were in. But they said the fullness of the Spirit was so obviously evident. These people came to hear the word of God. They came to worship in spirit and truth. They didn't have to be propped up and poked up and try to edge them up to praise God. They came ready. They were hanging on the edge of their seats to hear the word of God. They said, multitudes were getting saved. Why? They came ready. They came ready. Truth. You can worship a lot of things, but worship God, it must be in spirit and in truth. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is truth? Truth means the condition or quality of being real, accurate, factual, or correct. In other words, Jesus said, God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, or with the intellect, or with the emotional part of man, or the mental part of man, but also and in truth. In other words, being real, being accurate, being factual, or correct, not concealing, but everything being revealed. Amen. Revealing. People want to come into church, hide their sin. And they talk to you and look up their arm and you see a pastor. I'm not saying because there's more secrets you're going to have. I'm not saying wrong. But I am saying you're going to be hard pressed trying to worship God when you have a temptation right there. When you know that's your weakness. Come on now, somebody say amen. Because every time you look down and see that, what do you think? Oh, I can get with you, so I can get with you, my friend. How you know? I'm a former smoker. I know. Or worse, got a six-pack in the back. Come to church. How you know? I had it hidden from my wife. I had it everywhere. When I go see it, we have this stuff in the church. You just be honest. I'm not trying to talk bad about that. I'm just making a point. If it's there somewhere, you're going to be attracted to it. Can I help you? Being in church with your cell phone or your iPad or whatever these devices are, they are so cheapy because you might be waiting for a text and then a Facebook will come up. Don't you want to send this to Facebook? Don't you want to do this? Don't you want to do that? And you think, just real quick. Don't you want to do this? Just real quick. And you just want to put yourself in the last 5 minutes. Because you spend more time with people's heads down looking at their phone. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't want to talk to people's heads. When you see their arm, you want to do it. Don't see them face. I know they're not facing them. I know they're not beating up their Bible out there. You know, I'm going to say, hey, put that down! I'm going to bless you. You see, people don't understand doing this. You don't understand it. Even if I didn't, God did. And was it even God honoring? Was it even worth posting? Was it even worth blogging? Was it even worth tweaking? Tweaking. Showing my inability to do these things. Texting, tweeting, blogging, posting, Instagramming, Facebooking, piggybacking, whatever, amen. Something new every time you turn around, amen. Folks, you can't worship in God's office. Save that for later. I'm not dogging you out. I'm just saying,
I don't think when Jesus was preaching, people were doing those things. I don't think there were people preoccupied. But the true worshipers, I don't think did that. That was the spirit that worship him must worship in the spirit and in truth. So we attempt to worship the Lord concealing. We heard about Achan and all those things, and so we know what's going on. So to be truthful, it's got to be real, accurate, factual, or correct. It's got to be not concealing. And we ought to guard against sin every day, but especially when we're attempting to come and worship the Lord. Amen. The last thing you need are those things in front of you when you're trying to worship God. Any kind of setback, any kind of device will hinder your worship. And so if we're going to worship in spirit, we know it's got to be in the mental capacity of our mind. It's got to be in the emotional capacity, the intellectual, the mental part of man. If we're going to have truth, we know the word of God is truth. I've got to have truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I've got to be in Christ, and I've got to have my mental hat on. On purpose, I want to worship you. My conscience should be affected. My mind should be affected. The beauty of God is at stake. The holiness of God is at stake. Every part of my being should be affected. And when we come into the house of God, we'll have a better worship service. Because it's not Brother Neil's job to get you fired up and pumped up. It's not Brother Watson's job to get you fired up and pumped up. It's God's job, but you got to be pump-upable if there is such a word. Ms. Watson, look at me. That ain't a word. Amen. You've got to be able to receive, because it's God who's going to light your fire and get you going and keep you going. It's his word, his truth. It's going to be your spirit getting involved with God's spirit. He said, take over my spirit by the Holy Spirit, by the truth of God, so that I can worship, so I can leave here differently than when I came. I tell you, this woman did. She did. She left differently. We need to show her quick things here to contemplate. If you're going to worship God in spirit, and in truth, number one, our true worship and our spiritual worship should involve us individually and personally. We should worship God in truth personally. We don't need anyone else. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of this. As a shepherd, I count the sheep. And when the sheep are not here, I'm concerned about the sheep. Much like a mother where that she sets down to prepare a meal for the family. And if Johnny doesn't show up, or if Sally doesn't show up, she's wondering, where's Johnny at? Where's Sally at? I sat down and I prepared this meal, and Johnny's not here, and Sally's not here. I wonder where they're at. As a preacher, as a pastor, as a shepherd, you prepare the word of God, and you want to serve it up. But then somebody's not there. And when you look out there, sometimes you think, where are they at? What did they do? Where did they go? And why did they go? And as Brother Neil said, it ain't often the reason why they did it. Amen. And guess what? As a shepherd, my worship then can get hindered because I'm looking around to see who's not here as opposed to who is here. And oftentimes, you and I, our worship can get hindered, and it should involve us individually as well as personally. We've got to stop looking to see who is here or who is not here and understand that God is here, and he is all I need. He is all I need. Number two. Our true worship should involve us not just individually and personally, but also it should involve us emotionally. We should worship in truth, emotionally, with our whole heart. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus told the devil this. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. True worship should involve us emotionally. I'm only going to serve God and him only. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. Question for you, how much of you did God save? Last time I checked, he saved all of us. And guess what? He wants us to worship him with all of us. All of our finances, all of our emotion, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. He wants all of us. Number three, not just individually and personally, and emotionally. True worship should involve us physically. Turn over to Psalm 95 with me. Psalm 95, I want to show you some worshiping going on here, collectively. Psalm 95. In Psalm 95, the psalmist is writing about praising God. True worship should involve us physically. We should worship God in truth, physically. Notice what it says in verse 1. Oh, come, let, who is that? Us sing unto the Lord. Let who? us. You know what that is? That's physically, and that's collectively, that's us. Let us make a what? Joyful noise to the rock of who? Our salvation. That's collective worship. Let who? Us come before his presence with what? Thanksgiving. Thank him. Praise him. Hallelujah. He's good. And make a joyful noise unto him with songs. Come down to verse number 6. Oh, come, let who? Us do what? Worship. And what? Bow down. Let who? Us do what? Kneel before the Lord who? Our maker. For he is what? Our God. And who? We are the people of his pasture. What am I saying? They physically got involved. They began to sing with their voices. They began to fall prostrate. They began to sing unto the Lord. They began to say, he's our God. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. We're collectively in this together. Now, can I worship individual? Yes, I can. And guess what? When you come to church, it's not individual. It's collective. And that's what they were doing, collective worship here. So true worship should involve us physically, emotionally, individually, personally. Also, it should involve us privately. We should get alone and worship God privately when no one else is around. By the way, some of my sweetest times is private worship. Amen. Private worship. Number 5, we should worship as well weekly. Hebrews 10:25, many of us already know this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a man of some ends. But exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. One of the ways that I think we're guilty of is manly. Some people become a man concerned about what other people think. You know, some people want to say amen for that, but they're afraid about my love. That actually happened here. I went to the church and I said, amen, people looked at me like, you know what people said? You said, amen. And I said, amen. They looked, you said it twice. And I said, amen. You said it 3 times, please stretch your arm, buddy. I'm not going to let you stop me from saying amen and agreeing with the preacher. I don't care how dry and dead you might be. I don't care how ate up you look, amen. I'm going to praise God. You can't say that in our church. Well, somebody needs to, because you're not saying it. Let me show you a manly worship time. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. See what I'm talking about here. Concerning what other people think. By the way, I've gone into some churches and I've seen some mentally handicapped and challenged people. And people look at them like they got 2 heads, but I bet you God doesn't. Why does he have to sing so loud? He's all key. Well, you have no key. You won't even open your mouth. At least they're trying to praise God. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. The story is with Samuel and Saul. Saul has been deposed, although he's still on the throne. And he has sinned against God by his partial obedience. And notice this false worship or this manly worship that goes on in verse number 30. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 30. Verse 29, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he's not a man that he should repent. Talking about how the kingdom was rent from Saul and given to another. Then he said, this is Saul, I have sinned, yet, notice this, honor me now, manly worship. I pray thee, notice this, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. He says, I'm concerned about what the elders are thinking. I'm concerned about what Israel is thinking. So you want to help me out and come over here so I can worship? I need them. No, you don't, Saul. You need God who you rejected. That's who you need. But he wants manly worship, and sometimes we're guilty of that. I want to see what they're going to do first. No, you just do what God's telling you to do. And he's concerned about that. Samuel had it the right way. Notice what it says down there in verse number 31. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Samuel said, all right, I'll go, but you're going to have some false worship. And so Samuel, he's worshiping with false worship because he's more concerned about the people than he is with God. And notice the end of that chapter. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. He said, you want manly worship? You got it. But you don't have God's worship. You don't have God's worship. give you one last one. Here in the New Testament, or Old Testament, go to Psalm 119. Worship should involve us. Not manly, but godly. But also worship should involve us daily and hourly. Psalm 119, 164. Psalm 119 and 164. And I like what the psalmist says here. Psalm 119 and 164. And he says this, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Seven times a day. Now, I did the math. 24 hours divided by seven times a day to worship means we should stop by a principle or rule at least 3.5 hours and worship God as the psalmist did. As a guiding principle, ask yourself, do you stop every 3.4 hours to worship God? He says, seven times a day do I do that. Now, I'm not saying you take this as a rule. I'm saying it's a guiding principle. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. And he follows up with great peace that day was loved by law. Nothing should offend that. But think about that. 24 hours divided by seven times a day to worship means we would stop every 3.5 hours and worship God as the psalmist did. Think about that as a concept. But you know, the world has that concept already. As soon as you get to work, I see people go on a 10-minute work smoke break. And they haven't been at work an hour yet. But the party that I'm talking about. And you got to give them a smoke break. And then they get a lunch break on top of that. And they always seem to go over the smoke break. Because it takes them about 10 minutes to get to the smoking area. And the break is supposed to be 10 minutes. And they take 10 minutes to get there. And they smoke for 10 minutes. And then it takes them, it seems, 10 minutes to get back. So that 10-minute smoke break turns to a 30-minute smoke break. So, Chris, how you doing? I used to smoke, I told you. And that's what I used to do. We'd go out in the back, get our cup of coffee on one hand, cigarette in the other hand, and there we go. And they had to give us a smoke break. They give us a smoke break, they give us a lunch break. How about worship break? Well, now they're going to smoke, I'm going to worship. Well, they have a piece of food. You can't worship on this job! The separation between work and God! Really? But you let them smoke for 10 minutes and get bad lungs and spend the government's money taking them to the hospital. And I just want to praise God, and I want to pray for you, you wicked person. You wouldn't say that, what are you thinking? What do you think about it? He's a 7 times. Every 3.4 hours, I could stop and praise God. I could be more than 90%. When it comes to worship, we should follow what the psalmist said. You know what I'm saying? We're going to worship this building too. It should involve us individually and personally. It should involve us emotionally. It should involve us physically. It should involve us publicly and collectively. It should involve us weekly. It should involve us daily and hourly. And it should not involve us at all manually. We come to worship God. Now, collectively, we come together as friends and we're not concerned about the other people. Or we can never get kind of that. You know why my wife and I didn't walk the aisle and get saved? We were concerned about the people. They were going to call us sinners. God was going to be with us. Now, but I don't know what you call me. And my wife and I didn't walk the aisle to get saved. You try to wait till everybody left. Why? You know, I'm not thinking about it. And they wouldn't go home to find out. I said, bust it out. I'm going to come talk to you. And he had to be all wrong. But brother, you want to get saved? Shh. I was a long sinner. Come on, man. World would just come out of the world, have my disco clothes on. Just say, you know, stuff you're talking about. Brother, you want to get saved? You go back to God to me. The people looking at you. They all know what I was going to do. And they were saved. I was lost. I was the only lost person there, I thought. From my life. That was so good. More saved than I was. You know, we can't think about it. Nobody has an invitation. This is the last book. The last I don't know how God spoke to your heart, but I know I had a lot of time being at home, not being able to come here and worship. Now, could I worship individually and probably at home or something? There's just something about coming here and getting amongst the brethren and being able to sing. You know, it's no fun singing at home and hearing somebody on the internet. But it's just so interesting. But when you come here, you can join our brethren. You can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 145 and 18, the Lord is bound to all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Truth means not concealed. God deserves our worship in spirit and in truth. We have got to come in and do our dead level best to hollow out this time for Almighty God. He deserves it. He's worthy of it. And you need it. I need to be right with God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and looking around. You and I can't live successfully or happily or joyfully without worship in the spirit and your truth. The worship. Are you in the worship? How's your worship today? And God had to call you into question today and grade your worship. What would you get? Would it be an A? Would it be a B? Would it be a C? Would it be a D? Or God forbid, would it be an F? You see, when we don't worship God in spirit and truth, by default, we worship the devil. William Temple had it right. For the worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, and to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the hearts to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God. I don't know about you, but I want my worship to improve. And I know I have areas where I fall and falter, and I'm preoccupied with other things. And spiritually, I'm not there. Mentally, I'm not there. My mental capacity has gone someplace else. I'm thinking about things that don't really matter in the eternity of time. Perhaps that's you today. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, my intellectual, mental part of man, my spiritual part is not where it needs to be. My emotional state is not there. I've not worshipped the way I need to. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you say, I'm doing a great job. Lord, keep me going. Keep me shining for me. So I know just around the corner there's something that can happen to disrupt my worship. Maybe that's you today. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, today, I'm like the woman at the well. I need to meet Jesus. I need to come see this man. I need to be saved. And would you pray for me, preacher, that I can get saved today? I think I'm saved. I think I know God as my Savior, but I'm not absolutely positive. Would you pray for me, preacher? Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand, preacher? I'm not saved. You know, I've been wrong. Then, Christian, this is to me. How's your worship? If God had to grade you today on worshiping him in spirit and in truth, I'm not talking about spirit or truth, it's on spirit and truth, collectively, both together, what grade would he give you? And if he gave you anything less than an A+, you need to ask him to help you, to improve your grade, and devote to worship God. God gets the praise, God gets the glory. But you and I get the blessing. We get to live differently than we can live. Father, bless me. All those that understand my voice. Well, the worship is a very important ship. You want us to worship you. You said you're a spirit. And those who worship you in spirit and truth. So help us, Lord. To worship you in spirit and truth. With the mental, the emotional, the intellectual part of man, with the truth of the word of God, help us to worship you the way you want to be worshipped. In the way you should. Help us to improve our grade today. There's one lost, help him to come. Get this settled in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, and stand on our feet. Maybe God spoke in your heart this morning. Maybe you need to come down to an old fashioned altar. Say, Lord, I'm doing great on my worship, but I can improve. Help me. Help me, Lord. Maybe you come down to an old fashioned altar. Maybe pray for a loved one. Maybe a husband, a wife that's not here. Maybe a son or a daughter that's not able to be here. So Lord, help my son, help my daughter, help my wife, help my husband. Maybe you need to be a better witness at work with your worship and showing to others that you truly went to worship today. When you go back, you go differently. I'm not saying you have to do what I did. Maybe you need to make it known to others that you came to be with Almighty God. You came to worship Him in spirit and truth. And your life is different. It's been changed. And tomorrow, when you go to your place of work, maybe go to your place of school, you'll go in differently than you have in the past days or weeks. God loves you and God wants to save you from the lost today. When that girl came, she was seeking for physical water. Jesus gave her spiritual water, water of life. When she was past all of the hindrances, she met Jesus. When she met Jesus, she could tell everybody, come see her. Come see her. Christians are praying, how about you? Do you need to be saved? Are you like my wife and myself, how we stay there in our seats? Too scared to be calm. I'm talking to somebody. We understand. I want you to step out. We'll take a Bible tonight and say, say, preacher, I'm ashamed of that. We're sinners just like you. Sinners saved by the grace of God. You want people that love you and care for you. People waiting for me. Do that invitation February 3rd, 1991. Perhaps you say, preacher, I'm saved. But I'm not baptized. Why don't you come and swear the baptism? Let somebody take a Bible and show you what you need to do to be baptized. If you've been saved, scripturally saved, you call the name of the Lord and be born again, then your next step is baptism. You should follow the Lord and believe in baptism. Become a member of this local church. Say, preacher, I'm saved, I'm baptized. I don't belong to this church. Why don't you come and join? I'll tell you what you need to do to join. Get involved in the fellowship of the believers. We can worship collectively. God wants to use you. And He uses you for the local church. Perhaps, say, preacher, I need to surrender. To a ministry, something that God has called me to do. You know, it was in a church service where I surrendered to preach. It was in the church that I surrendered to plant this church. It was in a church service where God spoke to my heart about missions. It was in a church service where God spoke to me about repentance, forgiveness, and about you today. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you so much for this woman at the well that you took time to talk to, and Lord, to lead her to a saving knowledge of yourself that she could be born again. Thank you for the example that we have in Scripture. Thank you for the ability that we have to worship you in spirit and in truth. A timeless example that we have. Oh God, the hindrances are many. We've got this old flesh to contend with, and the world to contend with, Lord, most of all that old devil to contend with, but we want to worship you in spirit and truth with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. Our desire is to do so, Lord, but we're hindered oftentimes. God, help us. We come through these doors to put aside the hindrances, put aside the woes, the worries, and do our dead level best to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we know that would greatly change our worship service. We would greatly please you, and Lord, others will be blessed. Lord, help our next worship services to be differently conducted than they were in the past, because we are abiding in your worship. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Save that one that's lost. Bless the activities that will follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I was going to come and give us our